Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Well, a guy who needs no introduction to the college football audience is joining us here on Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. He is Josh Pate. You, of course, want to be watching him on YouTube. You want to be checking him out on the podcast, because when it comes to college football, it is 365 days a year for this guy. Well, Josh, first off, obviously, it's been a big topic for you this week. I have got to ask you about the insane report. I believe it came out of Heather Dinich, ESPN, that the College Football Playoff Committee may look at the insane idea of somehow tying television ratings to college football playoff rankings. Please tell me that this is not going to go anywhere.
Anytime you ask me about anything playoff related, there's always a deep breath on my end. Yep. We have talked many times about this. So back before they expanded the playoff, I told you my stance on it. I didn't want it to expand, but the reason was because I knew all the tentacles that would be attached to playoff expansion. And this is a perfect example. So short answer, I think people's biggest fears are unfounded. The idea that you would decide the playoff field based on which teams had the most viewership that year, that's certainly not a road they're going to go down. I've got my theory on what they're doing in a second, but I will say, and I think what Heather Dinich was saying is sort of what they're getting at, is if we go to this model, this playoff model, 14 teams or whatever, where you have certain amounts of auto bids per conference, SEC with four, Big Ten with four, whatever. One of the ideas they were throwing around is let's determine how many seats they have at the table based on a formula that includes TV ratings. And if people have a problem with that, okay, still have a problem with it, that's fine. I'm probably with you. I do think, though, if they go that route, Pete, you're probably arriving at the same conclusion no matter what. You're probably arriving, whether you use TV ratings or whether you use conference strength and leverage they have, conference quality. The Big Ten and the SEC are going to have the most seats at the table if they go that route. So it's probably an ends to a mean no matter what. Now, I will tell you this, because you and I have also spoken about this theme. There's this insane Overton window that college football powers that be always use. In fact, anyone who thinks they're smart and they're dealing with people they think are dumb use the Overton window. And that is, if we're going to have an unpopular idea and we know we're going that route, let's first float a theory out there that's insane and let them marinate on it for about a week. And then when we give them the real idea, it'll make us look like we listened to them and we scrapped the bad idea and we're going with this other idea. And comparatively, the idea that we were going to go with all along doesn't sound so bad compared to the terrible idea we floated out there. They do that stuff all the time. Make no mistake. It's not just pure happenstance and coincidence that you see college football playoff could be decided by TV ratings. What do you guys think? A week before, announcements are probably going to come out about this.
They do that in politics all the time, so why not apply to sports, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's also no coincidence that a lot of the people who were involved on this side of the fence now have a background in either the legal field or the political field or some combination of both. And they just, I don't know, wandered their way over into college athletics somehow. That's not a coincidence either.
That is so true. Josh Pate, of course, is here. I forgot to mention, of course, you got to make sure you are subscribed to his show. That's Josh Pate's College Football Show, us at Heartland College Sports, and of course on the podcast as well. And always appreciate our radio affiliates being here with us. So, Josh, let's tie it into the Big 12. I mean, you've talked about, obviously, playing college football playoff commissioner. You would step to the plate if duty called. If you're Brett Yormark and you're advising him in this new world that we know is going to be heavily tied to what the Big Ten and the SEC want to do, how do you play your hand here knowing you don't really have a lot of leverage starting in about a year?
So I think they've done a really good job of being creative where it's called for. They've had a lot of new initiatives there, but that's really what we're talking about when it gets down to it. That's not drawing you closer to being comparable to those two conferences. I think what you have to do in the short term, Pete, is understand there's no magic lever you can pull that makes the Big 12 holistically measure up to what the SEC or the Big 10 are right now. What I would think, and this is where you got to be really, really nimble, is I would think to myself, all right, for the past 15 years now in this sport, has there been a stable 3-year stretch? There really hasn't. I mean, where can we find 36 months where there wasn't major like plate tectonic movement in the recent history of college football, so or in college athletics? So I say that to say, if I'm Brett or anyone else, if I'm a commissioner of the Mountain West, I would look and I would say, semi-recent and extremely recent history in the indication we're not done changing, which means there are all kinds of tumblers. No one can predict them right now. It's the old trying to nail Jell-O to the wall analogy. No one can predict it right now. It's impossible. The people who are best at maneuvering and seeing around the corner a little bit, those are going to be the ones who benefit. So what does that mean? That's just word salad. Well, what it would mean if I were Brett Yormark is I would look and I would say, might the Big Ten and the SEC have been playing the long game all along? The long game meaning we eventually get to a world where it's sort of NFC, AFC, except in college it's SEC, Big Ten, which sounds like a nightmare. But if you think about it from a practical standpoint, what that could mean, Pete, is the SEC, you know, becomes a behemoth of 30 plus teams, as does the Big Ten. But what that involves is them swallowing up large chunks of the ACC or the Big 12. And then you're in a world where if anyone's smart in that room, if they ever go that route, if anyone's smart, all they do is just divide things right back up into conferences, as we used to call them. You could even put the same names on them that they used to have. I don't really, in other words, what I'm saying is I don't really think in 2030 or 35, I really don't think a Kansas State fan cares about whether the Big 12 brand is a subsidiary of the Big 10 or not. I think what they care about is the experience still authentic? Is Kansas State football still Kansas State football? And is college football still a sport that thrives on regionality? Right now, you're losing that.
Yep.
The irony of all this is if we go further down this road, there is a path where we actually get it back. It just is the most backwards way imaginable of getting to that point.
We could end up where we were 30 years ago in 15 years.
That's correct.
I mean, and who wouldn't welcome back? And I know that there are some of our new brethren in the Big 12 who may not like this, and it's not meant to be a slight at them, but you bring back the old Big 12 North and Big 12 South as a subdivision in a large Big 10. K-State fans aren't going to care. Baylor fans aren't going to care. I mean, you got Southwest rivalries back, Southwest Conference rivalries back. You got the old Big Six back in action in some sense. How is that not the best outcome for this sport as a whole? Or is it in your estimation?
Oh, it is. It absolutely is, given the trajectory that we're on. Because I give you several paths that suck. That one doesn't. I mean, you're talking about also, we're not talking about the Pac-12 here, but Pac-10, I would go Pac-10 personally. The entire resurrection of the concept of us having a West Coast conference in major college sports, that would also be nice. But the difference in that hypothetical world is I don't think there would be vast gulfs financially between what is a Big 12 school versus what is a Big 10 school or a Pac-10 school or an SEC, ACC. Or what I'm saying is it's no different than when you look at the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets. Like, they're both in the AFC East, but they're both in the AFC. That's what they are. Yeah. And it's similarly in college athletics. I think one day you're probably getting down that road, and that road also means collectively you're negotiating media rights deals and everyone's got a chunk of that pie. So it's a ways down the road still, but it's not decades down the road.
So here's like the ultimate question then. We're seeing this play out a little bit in the ACC with certain teams looking for more money. Do the Ohio States and Texases of the world ever allow for an Oklahoma State to make the same money for the betterment of the sport as they're making, like what you see in the NFL? I mean, I'm not about the whole idea of, you know, basically communism, but it works in sports. I mean, if there's a place that it works, it's the NFL when the Chiefs and the Bills are really good and the Jets and the Giants stink, right? So can that world exist in college sports?
It's interesting you say that. There's been probably as much of a political overtone in college athletics recently as I remember in a long time. And what you just said is very apropos because I feel the same way. I would paint myself as a free market capitalist. That's the lens through which I view society. Yep. But I've always said that is the free market in a free society, in an economy. College football or a sports league, it is not wide open society. No different than a national park is wide open land. There are portions of the topography of the United States that we've cordoned off and we've made them natural preserves or natural parks, and they operate under a different set of laws because we decided, yeah, we kind of want that thing. Well, I view college athletics the same way. I don't want the raw capitalistic free market to dominate college athletics, even though I got no problem with it outside of college athletics, because I think that for the greater good of society, it's nice for things like college athletics, college football to exist woven into the fabric of a free market society otherwise. And so I do think what you just said is accurate. And I do also think if you ever leave it up to Texas to do that, of course, your answer is no. That's just why it can't be left up to Texas. And I would also look further than that. I would say, well, when is the SEC ever going to voluntarily allow this to happen? Or when is the Big Ten ever going to voluntarily allow that to happen? Well, the answer is, in a perfect world, it's not solely up to them. Because if it is, the answer is never. That's how we kind of got here in the first place.
Yeah, that's so true.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Josh Pate, of course, is here on the show. So take me through some of your recent trips. You were up in Ames, Iowa, and you talk about a team that is doing it still under Matt Campbell the old-fashioned way. I put up my air quotes when I say it, but not a lot of portal players out, not a lot of portal players in. How sustainable is this model, or does it really hinge on Matt Campbell staying in a place like Iowa State?
I do think it hinges on Campbell being there. Matt Campbell is one of the best head coaches in America. I spent some time with him while I was up there, spent some time with a lot of the people in that building, and you just said something that I don't want to gloss over. You said there weren't a lot of portal additions, there weren't a lot of portal exits. There were guys on that team with substantial offers to leave Iowa State, to go to greener pastures, and by green, I mean the color money, in the SEC and the Big Ten, and they just had guys turn it down. And Iowa State did what they could to match, but they're not matching dollar for dollar or anywhere remotely close to that with the big boys out there. But what they have done is they have done as thorough a job as you could see in college football of cultivating a culture and selling a program the way it's supposed to be done, actually, to where right out of high school when they recruited these guys, they circled a different kind of athlete. They had a different kind of plan for them. They immersed them into what Iowa State football is, and guys appreciate it. I know people think that's such a bygone concept, and many places it is. Many places you got a roster full of mercenaries, but that is not the case there. So as long as that is the status quo, then it is sustainable. That doesn't mean they're winning 9 or 10 games every year, but that's never been Iowa State football. They are at the apex for the history of that program right now, and you're there because you got the right guy in the head coach's chair. I think Big 12 fans appreciate it. Iowa State fans appreciate it. I still don't think people have the slightest clue how good that guy is. And, you know, selfishly, because I like Iowa State, I don't want to see what I'm about to say. But maybe one day he's at a place that just provides him all the limitless resource opportunities that other programs have. If we ever watch Matt Campbell trade punches in a major program, I think you would be looking at like truly the next superstar head coach in college football.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Big 12 fans, you're not going to argue with that. Do you feel like maybe it's the Nico thing at Tennessee to UCLA or just in general, do you feel like there's a changing of the guard that maybe guys are thinking twice before at least just jumping ship and hitting the portal? Or are we not there yet because of this unique year we're in right now where it's kind of that last year of just free for all, unlimited, wild, wild west, no strings attached to anything?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both, or maybe a little bit of several things. So it is obvious that this was sort of a unique window because it was the last window before revenue sharing era and whatnot. But, you know, there's another big change that we're right in the middle of, sort of an inflection point, if you will. Players have gotten used to the idea over the past few years that they can really do whatever they want with impunity. And they can transfer as many times as they want. They can break NIL deals off. They can fail to fulfill their end of the bargain with no consequence. And they developed that mentality because everyone was scared to challenge anything. Because, you know, the big no-no in college sports right now is you can't be labeled anti-player. Oh, man, imagine that. And so programs were afraid to push back. What they underestimated was how turned off the general public is by this whole thing and how ready the general public was for a change to take the program side over the player's side if we have a situation like Nico arise. People are fed up with that. Like, people are turned off by that. And it's always been this great boogeyman over in the closet. And finally, Josh Heupel said, yeah, we're done with this. And then his brother's at Arkansas, and he breaks off his deal, and he's going to go to UCLA, and Arkansas saying, yeah, we want our money back. And all of a sudden, they find out, wait a second, there's no downside to this. No one's killing us for this. In fact, we've got a ton of support. I said that as you and I are recording, I said earlier today, it has been such a miscalculation for people to think public opinion would be against them, the programs, instead of the players. And it is such a miscalculation still to worry, well, if we go after a player legally, people are going to negatively recruit against us. No, what's going to happen is everyone else is going to go after players because no one wanted to be the first to do it. Because if I sign Pete Mundo and then you leave 3 months in and you just don't pay me back my NIL money I gave you, the working theory had been, well, if Pate State tries to recoup that money, then all the other programs out there are going to tell kids, you don't want to go play at Pate State. Look, they'll sue you. They'll go after players. It's not the way it's going to work in reality. It's just someone had to finally do it.
And it seemed like it happened at the exact right time with this spring portal window open. So I don't know what it means, but I get the sense it's different. And you obviously are right there in the heart of SEC country. You're right down the road from Tennessee. The other side of this I've heard is, well, you know, Tennessee fans are going to say the right thing now, but if they're off to a 2-4 start, they're going to say we should have kept Nico and they're going to hammer Heupel. Do you think that that is possible and then this whole thing backfires?
Yes, it's kind of complicated. So I do not think that at any point this year, even if the season goes off the rails and they're like 7-5 or 6-6 or something like that, I don't think people are going to second guess Heupel's decision. I think they'll still support the decision. I do think that he will burn up his grace pretty quickly as it relates to this year. Like, fans aren't going to magically just grant him a mulligan no matter how bad the season is. You're an SEC head coach. You're making like $9 or $10 million a year. So you're going to bear the brunt of criticism the same way you normally would. And I don't think that's ever going to change. What I do think is anyone who believes, well, every Tennessee fan claims they love this decision now, but if they lose this fall, they'll hate it. I don't think that's the case. I don't think there's any point this year where Tennessee fans look at the result and say, boy, I wish we would have fought to keep Nico. I wish we would have paid him $4 million. It's a principle thing over a win-loss record thing for them. So they are steadfast behind him on that front.
Good deal. All right. So last couple minutes here, just looking at the Big 12 as a whole, you know, we all know what it is. It is wide open. Arizona State picked last year, win the league. No one has any idea what this year is going to look like. If you were just to try to look ahead to the fall without, of course, the rosters finalized and say, what storylines is Josh Pate watching the next 4 months in this league? What are the top couple that stand out to you and why?
I would say, so I was out in Lubbock a couple of weeks ago, and I know a lot's been made of the transfer portal class that they landed. Man, I want to tell you something. The caliber of athlete physically that's walking around that building is pretty impressive. So the one storyline would be, does that coalesce into a team that can win the league? Because there is a unique kind of pressure on Joey McGuire this year because they have invested. That building is incredible, by the way, if you hadn't seen it. They've invested on every front, and they went and got them what they think is a Big 12 championship caliber team. And, you know, McGuire's a few years in now. And so the vibes are incredibly high there right now. But with that comes pretty high expectation. So they've got to win this year. So that's one. Arizona State has so much continuity on that coaching staff and on the roster, too. They're one of the top returning production teams. It's just, you know, a couple of the guys they lost are big names. But I circle those two teams. If I had to pick my conference championship matchup today, that'd probably be it. But then Kansas State's going to be right back there. I'm very, very interested to see if Kansas makes noise this year. And then the other part of that is, all right, what in the world should I expect from Colorado? That quarterback situation has been really interesting to follow. I never expected Juju Lewis to start for them this year. Never thought that he would be up to speed and be ready to play big-time college football this year. And technically, I guess it still could happen, but I think spring kind of validated that for me. But just losing the two impact guys they lose to the draft and knowing that there wasn't really a solid bedrock under those guys last year, do you see a falling back to earth? I don't know. It's just there's a storyline with every team. It's the beauty of the Big 12.
There is. And we'll have to have you back as we get closer to the season to talk about that part of it. Great stuff, Josh. Hope everybody's watching Josh Pate's College Football Show on YouTube. Check out the podcast as well. He's going live multiple nights a week. And we appreciate you being here, my friend. Thanks so much for the time.
Appreciate you having me as always, Pete.
Absolutely. Make sure you hit that subscribe button right below you on the show, on the channel, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.